The Eindhoven University of Technology, Signify and Philips Research each year invite an eminent scientist to deliver the Holst Memorial Lecture in honour of the physicist Dr. Gilles Holst, who was the first director of the Philips Physics Laboratory. He held this position from 1914 to 1946 and had a profound impact on the entire Brainport region. The CTO of Philips, Henk van Houten, explains why Gilles Holst deserves to be memorialized with a prestigious annual award.
A great inventor, scientist, and leader of industrial research. Gilles Holst took part in the discovery of superconductivity, which was a Nobel Prize-winning discovery, working together with Heike Kamerling-Onnes at the University of Leiden. He also helped establish the Eindhoven University of Technology here in 1956, because he was a strong believer that collaboration is required between academia and industry to really make progress in society, with universities as a source of talent, new knowledge, and innovation. We remember Holst, Gilles Holst, especially as the founding director of Philips Research, which he led between 1914 and 1946, and he left an indelible mark on the culture and the ways of working of the Philips laboratories until today, and in fact, I think, on what has become now known as the Eindhoven Brainport, with the many, many high-tech companies that are either maybe spin-offs of Philips, restarts from people that have worked at Philips, or suppliers of Philips, and I think this is now a vibrant ecosystem, really, really important for the Dutch economy.
The 2018 Holst Memorial Lecture, the 42nd, was delivered by Facebook's head of artificial intelligence research, Jan Le Cun, as the recipient of the Holst Medal. Jan has developed a number of new machine learning methods, including a biologically inspired model of image recognition called convolutional neural networks. He successfully applied it to handwriting recognition. In fact, almost all checks written worldwide, and certainly those in the US, are automatically handled by the handwriting recognition system that he developed. But now he and his team are transforming Facebook. Holst committee member Wijnand IJsselstein applauded his contributions as follows.
I think what he represents is an innovative spirit in computer science. I think he also represents multidisciplinarity. In his talk, you saw reference to neuroscience, for instance, as inspiration for the convolutional nets that are used in machine learning. You see his ambition also to unravel, let's say, what he calls the thermodynamics of intelligence. So this to me is actually a big appeal of his work. Of course, there's also a great practical significance to his work. Much of what he does is immediately applied in machine learning, in image recognition, in compression algorithms and what have you. He has an amazing track record in this area. So all of that actually together makes him a very good candidate for this Holst Medal.
And at the award ceremony, TU Eindhoven Rector Professor Frank Byens showed great appreciation for his work and its impact on society.
Many of you have described you as a groundbreaking visionary. And the topic you talked about today, is more than relevant for our future. And I'm really sure that your lecture has been a source of inspiration for many of us. The scientists at this university, our friends from industry, and last but not least, I think our students. I hope there have been quite a few students in the audience that should be inspired, I think, by what you just told us.
While Jan Le Cun is now recognized as the brain behind an important form of artificial intelligence, it was not always easy to convince the academic community. He described the initial skepticism towards his ideas in the early days.
And so we wrote a paper, submitted it to CVPR, the big computer vision conference, 2011, pretty sure the thing was going to be an oral presentation, and it was soundly rejected by all three reviewers, who basically said, what the hell is a convolutional net? Basically, we don't believe that a method we never heard of could work so well, so there's going to be a bug, this could be wrong. So the funny thing is, nowadays you can't get a paper accepted at CVPR unless you use convolutional net, but, I mean, it's amazing how it works, and people in computer vision are kind of surprised that the progress was so fast towards this problem, where, you know, whereas 5 years ago, you would have asked a computer vision researcher, how long is it going to take to produce things like this? They would have told you maybe 15, 20 years. Took 5 years. We can even run this in real time on a phone. This is actually a video lifted directly off of a mobile phone. And so it runs at that speed, and it can you know, track a person's pose in real time on a smartphone. You're going to see more and more of that popping up. So every phone that comes out now, or within a few years, is going to have a neural net accelerator chip that basically accelerates convolutional nets. And it's going to be used for all kinds of applications, sort of running recognition on device, running translation, you know, doing things like augmented reality or things of that type. So they, you know, some high-end phones already have them, but it's going to get generalized. And then you know, those chips are going to pop up in every robot vacuum cleaner and lawnmower and toys and smart cameras, and every camera would be smart. And so, you know, there's going to be kind of a big embedded AI market, I think. And, you know, some companies in the area are into the IoT business, so this is relevant, I guess. Okay, all of this is open source. So what I was telling you before is that Facebook AI Research practices open research. So it's not just publishing papers, but also publishing our code. So this is the open source code that corresponds to this Mascar CNN, as well as the RetinaNet system. And these are examples of outputs of this system. You can just download this, compile it, run it, train it, etc. The reason we do this is that we get people to use our tools. We get people to improve on our methods. So it becomes much easier for us to kind of, you know, move faster, essentially. We need to make progress faster. That's really what AI research is all about.
To delve deeper into the importance of AI for the Eindhoven region today, Jean-Paul Linartz interviewed him for Radio 4 Brainport.
Now, one university after the other is replacing their curriculum by just an artificial intelligence curriculum. But shouldn't these guys also learn about differential equations if in the end they want to have a plane fly in the air or learn a drone how to fly?
Well, of course, yes. I mean, particularly if you do mechanical engineering, you're not going to just study AI. Even if you study AI, in fact, you have to study more math than you would otherwise have to if you were kind of more regular computer science, if you want. So regular computer science, at least in North America, but it's partly true also in Europe, does not have a huge requirement for mathematics, and most of it is for discrete mathematics. But if you work on machine learning and AI and neural nets and deep learning, computer vision and robotics, that requires actually a lot more continuous math, the kind of math that, you know, we used to study, you know, 40 years ago for any engineering program. So, you know, differential equations. Interestingly, some of the methods that are useful to sort of analyze what happens in the deep learning system, many of them come from statistical physics, for example. So, you know, what I tell young students who want to get into AI and say, if you're ambitious, study, you know, take as many math courses as you can. Take, you know, multivariate calculus and you know, partial differential equations and things like that. And, yeah, and study physics also, you know, take quantum mechanics and statistical physics.
So that combination of the hardcore mathematics and the new mathematics in artificial intelligence could be a strength of a region like Brainport with ASML, with Philips, with Signify, with NXP?
I think, yes, absolutely. I mean, also, there are lots of opportunities in kind of new types of hardware applied to AI. And, of course, NXP is, you know, right in that business. But I think over the next, you know, 5-10 years, we're going to see you know, neural net accelerator chips popping up in just about everything we buy. I mean, everything that has electronics in it will have a neural net accelerator chip.
So basically you're saying the artificial intelligence does not run in the cloud, but in the fog, in the end edges devices. That could be an opportunity for a company like Signify selling lighting products.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we're going to see a motion from cloud to the periphery, to mobile devices, and eventually to kind of IoT devices and things like this that are going to be, you know, become more and more intelligent.